Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. There is at this point no doubt whatsoever that this was a false flag, let it happen operation, that the IDF forces normally around Gaza were sent to the West Bank on some flimsy pretext, that Biden and Bibi, and whereas in the past I've suggested George Soros and Barack Obama were running our government, I now think Bibi Netanyahu explains it all, including the surge of migrants across the border, of course, but they're all in on it, that this was contrived, planned well in advance, sending the USS Gerald Ford was all planned well in advance. Turns out to have a special team that's going to be used for a joint operation to free the hostages in Gaza. I cannot imagine a worse set of circumstances for precipitating World War III. You're not going to allow the Arab states and Iran are not going to allow the genocide at Gaza. I mean, think of how they're reversing the game plan. The Hola hoax, where they claim 6 million Jews had died in gas chambers using Zyklon B, was a complete fraud. But it was used to manipulate the world to have sympathy toward Jews because they were the victims of the Holocaust. It's been observed that Jewish political power is rooted in a Western sense of guilt over the Holocaust. Well, here, they're staging a completely fabricated, really allowed to happen. The fighting was real, and that is what I was impressed by with the Russian analysts' study of how much ground they'd taken, that in one day, Hamas had taken more ground than Ukraine in 4 months of its counteroffensive, but that was all allowed to happen. They had to be able to take property and hostages in order to justify what was to come. Very good piece on Veterans Today. Early Saturday, October 7th, Hamas launched Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, led by Hamas military chief Mohammed Deif. On the same day, Netanyahu confirmed a so-called state of readiness for war. Military operations are invariably planned well in advance. was Operation Alaska Storm a surprise attack? U.S. Intel say they weren't aware of an impending Hamas attack. Very interesting article by Michael Chesedevsky, director of the Center for Research on Globalization, former CIA counterterrorism agent Phil Giraldi, together executive director of the Council for the National Interest. These guys are smart. They're right on top of it. Here we have their first observations. One would have to be almost hopelessly naive to buy the corporate state media line that the Hamas invasion was an Israeli intelligence failure. Mossad is one of, if not the most powerful intelligence agencies on the planet. Did Netanyahu and his vast military and intelligence apparatus, Mossad and all, have foreknowledge of the Hamas attack, which has resulted in countless deaths of Israelis and Palestinians? Was a carefully formulated Israeli plan to wage an all-out war against Palestinians envisaged prior to the launching by Hamas of Operation Alaska Storm? This was not a failure of Israeli intelligence as conveyed by the media. Quite the opposite. Let me just say, by the way, these Israeli operatives are perfectly willing to let fellow Jews be killed if it advances their agenda. They have no respect for human beings, for human rights, for truth and justice, none whatsoever. Meanwhile, War News 24/7, which I highly recommend, this is an outstanding website, historic mission, joint U.S.-Israel operation to rescue 150 hostages, Delta Force, SEAL Team 6, and Shayet 13 will enter the heart of Gaza. Is Israel and the U.S., which should have nothing to do with this, absolutely nothing to do with this, will attempt to free approximately 150 hostages held by Hamas in tunnels in the Gaza Strip. This is an historic mission with a high degree of risk. The operation is expected to begin as soon as the Israeli headquarters, established specifically for this purpose, locates the exact location of the hostages. Notice this. They're saying they can locate exactly where the hostages is in Gaza. So how could this attack have been an intelligent failure? They have absolute intelligence to this end. U.S. Special Operation Teams and intelligence agents arrived in Israel as advisors to assist Israeli forces in rescuing the hostages in Gaza once the ground invasion began. Unofficial sources say elite U.S. forces will normally participate in the operation. But abnormal, absolutely abnormal to be participating with Israel. And what do you think, that Israel couldn't conduct this operation on its own? Give me a break. This is absolutely unbelievable, irresponsible. Meanwhile, Mike Adams, Israel commences illegal war crimes, ethnic cleansing operation against 2 million Palestinian civilians. Israeli rabbi says attack was an inside job. Let's listen to this.
Good evening, friends. Stephen Bannoun here with Israeli News Live, and we're going to be getting deep into the situation of things that are happening over in Israel tonight. I'm going to be taking you on several different journeys here. We'll start off with Lieutenant Colonel, who was speaking about those people that are putting out false information about Israel and what really happened with Hamas in the country there. There are even ministers who have really came against me very, very, very violently as far as in speech and everything, that as well have basically called me an anti-Semite, my wife, and everything else you could think of, because we dare speak about Noahide laws. We dare speak about a sinister plot that we actually were given intel on almost a year before it happened. and we share that with you. Well, you're going to find out from Israelis that, yes, this plot was a year in the making already. You're going to find out from Mizrahi, prominent rabbi, of Israeli rabbi, Israeli-born rabbi living in New York, who also knows that this was a setup. Wow. I guess he's considered anti-Semitic now, right? One of the most prominent rabbis of Israel of all times. We're going to be going into that. And then yet as well, I'm going to, at the conclusion of this information, as I share from Israelis that are speaking out about this situation here, I'm going to also address a little bit of the Ezekiel 37, where people are believing that this is fulfillment of Ezekiel 37, 38. All right. We're moving into that era right now. And as well, look at what biblically, and just kind of highlight this, because I've done videos on this before. I'll show you those videos, share them in the links for you, but to show you biblically what's really being fulfilled right before your eyes. By the way, I have on the screen right now, this is, I blew it up a little bit here. This is our YouTube channel. Please check, subscribe, join us here. You're looking at the picture there from 2004. I was in a suicide bombing in Israel. I lived in Israel at the time. I've lived in Israel on two different occasions in my life, back in 2004, during the Intifada there.
Here's the key. Israel continues to speak out about the most hideous attack on Israeli soil in modern times. Unanimously, they're all asking the same question. Where was the IDF? Without question. IDF would have fought gallantly had they been able to get their fellow Jewish to their fellow Jewish friends, but for some reason yet to be known, they were dispatched to the West Bank and other locations, leaving the Gaza Strip virtually unattended. That was no accident. That was by design. Meanwhile, we have lunatics like Nikki Haley calling for the genocide of the Gazan people. This is absolutely unbelievable. Listen to this.
Meanwhile, 2024 Republican candidates have been hammering President Biden's policy in the Middle East and his very, I guess, tenuous relationship with Israel and his outstretched hand of peace in hope of peace with Iran. Let's bring in a presidential candidate, former governor of South Carolina, former ambassador of the United Nations, Nikki Haley. Governor, great to see you. These events are taking place right now. Thanks. Are you confident that President Biden has said enough, has said it strenuously and directly enough that we are in their corner?
Well, Brian, I think the first thing is, you know, prayers for strength, prayers for determination for the people of Israel. But let's step back, because I want the American people to kind of take this in for a second. Just imagine that here the Israelis woke up and communities were bombarded. Families were murdered. Women and children were taken hostage, dragged through the streets. The elderly were taken. All of this has happened in front of everyone, on top of thousands of rockets that hit Israel. This should be personal for every woman and man in America. Why? Because when they did this, when they did this surprise attack, when they took these hostages, when they murdered these families, they were celebrating. And what were they celebrating? They were saying death to Israel, death to America. This is not just an attack on Israel. This is an attack on America, because they hate us just as much. And what we have to understand is this is the reason that we have to unite around making sure our enemies do not hurt our friends. America can never be so arrogant to think we don't need friends, just like we needed them on 9/11. That's why Ukraine needs us when Russia's doing this. That's why Israel needs us when Hamas and Iran are doing this. And I'll say this to Prime Minister Netanyahu, finish them. Finish them. Hamas did this. You know Iran's behind it. Finish them. They should have hell to pay for what they've just done.
Senator Lindsey Graham has said they make it clear to Iran that if they get involved, if Hezbollah gets involved, we start blowing up their refineries. What kind of message would you send to Iran? Would you to let them know that they will be hit directly if something else happens, that we know they're responsible?
Well, the first thing I would say is look at what is being said by Russia and China. absolutely nothing. There's a UN Security Council meeting tomorrow. Guess what they're going to say? I can tell you right now. They're going to say to de-escalate. They're going to say to ceasefire. They're going to tell Israel, don't fight back. They're not going to say, they're going to condemn Hamas, but they're not going to call out Iran. Why? Because Russia, China, and Iran are joined at the hip, all three of them. So if we know that, what we have to do is start being strong. You're not strong by giving them $6 billion like Biden did. And he can say it's not in their banks, but they're moving money around because they know it's coming. You're not being strong by lifting sanctions like Biden did. They're getting tons of oil money, and all that oil money goes to Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, all of those terrorist activities. They see the weakness that we've shown from Afghanistan and everything else. What we have to do is start showing strength. First, we have to make sure Israel secures its borders. The second thing is we need to call on all the Arab countries and ask them where they stand on this. And they can't just stand and say ceasefire. They've got to stand against evil. And that's...
Let me repeat. I say this to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, says Nikki Haley, shill. Finish them. Finish them. Hamas did that. You know, Iran is behind it. Finish them. Meaning commit genocide. Take them all out. Kill 2 million. And how, right before the eyes of the world. And isn't it ironic she mentioned 9/11? Because that was Israel attacking the United States in another false flag, orchestrated event, Israel at the heart of it. If there's a nation that deserves to be finished off, it is Israel. It is not Gaza. It is not the Palestinians.
Hello?
Meanwhile, because they may be worried that Iran might become involved, Israel's claiming it has no evidence Iran was involved. I say they cannot go into Gaza, especially with U.S. forces, and expect impunity from surrounding Arab nations or from Iran or, for that matter, I believe, from Russia. I have never seen a situation more fraught with the hazard of escalating into World War III than what we have right here, right now. Monday, Israeli officials said they had no evidence Iran was involved in the Hamas attack on southern Israel, after a report from the Wall Street Journal claimed Iranian officials helped plot the operation. We have no evidence or proof Iran was involved, said Israeli Defense Force spokesman Major Nir Dinar. He left open a possibility that Tehran was linked to the attack, saying just because you don't have evidence doesn't mean Iran wasn't behind it. Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, another IDF spokesman, made similar comments. Iran is a major player, but we can't yet say if it was involved in the planning or the training. I think they want to low-key it with Iran because Iran could make a substantial difference here on behalf of the Palestinians, and I don't rule that out happening yet. There's some efforts to evaluate who benefited. I'm not a big fan of Russ Baker, but he has a piece that I find rather interesting, seeking to assess the winners and the losers. He suggests the winners include Vladimir Putin. That is, Russia has close ties to Hamas. Its leader visited Moscow in July. Putin is also close to Iran's mullahs, who support Hamas and Hezbollah. Iran's mullahs, among Hamas' key sponsors, the mullahs in Iran, where they'll be overthrown by the oppressed and restive Iranian people, are counting on support from their alliance and convenient with Putin, extremists on both sides in Israel and in the U.S. This eruption is good for anyone intolerant, anyone who benefits from hatred and conflict, whether Palestinian or Israeli hardliners or self-serving American politicians, of whom there's no more extreme right-wingers who wants to massacre people than Bibi Netanyahu, Trump, who as president famously played up his hardline support with the Israeli far right and moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, is already falsely accusing Biden of enabling Iran to fund Hamas, generally portraying him as weak, and had become even more bellicose in his support for Netanyahu. A bad move. Mega. From Matt Gaetz to Elon Musk. Critics of the current admin clearly benefit from the crisis and its chaos agents. take any opportunity to sow mayhem and disinformation. Musk has already posted disinformation from untrustworthy sources on the events in Israel and Gaza. And what is he claiming to be disinformation? He's telling them to get information about the war from sites that may or may not have been accurate in their reporting. Musk has pointed X followers looking for updates toward two accounts known to be peddling disinformation. Well, that's interesting. See, here you got Russ Baker, whom I generally regard as an unreliable site, citing another unreliable site as though it were the opposite. Armaments industry. Armaments industry always benefits from war. That's a no-brainer. Losers. Biden and the Democrats. Trump and the GOP were quick to characterize the attack on Israel as something that would never have happened on their watch. Hamas wouldn't dare. It's another chance of hating Biden as weak, though that is clearly unjustified. And it will surely swing some voters here and there, which might be enough in key close races. Ordinary people everywhere. These armed conflicts are always hardest on ordinary people. The Gazans and Israelis who will suffer and die, either in the crossfire or as intended targets. If it benefits the Iranian mullahs, it will only empower them to further oppress their own people, who are by no means united for one side or the other in the current conflict. I'm not so sure about that. It destabilized the effort for rapprochement between Israel and other Arab countries, notably Saudi Arabia. This benefits the Saudis' archenemies in Tehran, peace advocates. Plenty of groups and individuals from both camps have spent years laboring largely in obscurity to move the needle on the Middle East, looking for ways to foster cooperation of any kind between the adversaries. The fallout from the Hamas attack and the Israeli military response will be especially dispiriting to the activists in Israel who've been advocating respect for Palestinian rights and autonomy, and all those opposing Netanyahu's rolling power grab, which, of course, I would add is a key reason for him moving. He's in deep trouble legally. He's enswirled in scandals. He's trying to reform the judiciary to protect himself, just as the Democrats right here at home want to pack the courts when they don't like their ruling. What I like about this is he's talking about who was going to benefit. As I said, Russ Baker, it's not easy to ask cui bono while bullets and bombs are flying. But it's necessary to examine the actions and understand their strategic significance if the U.S. and other players are to mount effective responses to stop the conflict and end the bloodshed. Engaging in this kind of analysis is potentially life-saving if it leads to a quicker resolution of the current mess. So let's get on with it. Much of what he said here requires revision in light of what's taking place once you perceive it to be a false flag attack. Meanwhile, scenes of terror in Gaza. Israel imposes complete siege on Gaza, cuts off electricity, fuel, food, and water ahead of ground operation. Very, very bad. Very, very troubling. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant announced a complete siege on Gaza on Monday. The blockade includes a ban on the admission of food, water, electricity, and fuel. This move is seen as Israel's retaliation against Hamas, following their largest attack on the country in decades. But this is banned by international law. This is collective punishment of the whole population for the actions of a few. This is outrageous. Where is the West talking about the violation of international law by means of collective punishment? And they are planning to slaughter them all. Meanwhile, at home, why would Biden be ecstatic about this? Flat17 tweeted, Hunter is out of the news. Border is out of the news. Ukraine is out of the news. Speaker drama out of the news. Biden crime family out of the news. Worldwide illegal immigration invasion out of the news. Horrible economy out of the news. Do you get it? He makes telling points, very telling points. Meanwhile, Israel ignored Egyptian warnings that Hamas was planning something. But of course, they ignored them. They were in on it. It was their plan. They didn't want their cover to be blown. So they're claiming there was a massive intelligence failure by what may be the most sophisticated intelligence organization in the world regarding the world's largest concentration camp. Whereas one Israeli blogger and former IDF member observed, they can tell even the presence of a cat at events, bringing about a massive response. She thinks something was wrong about all of this. She got it exactly right. Something was wrong. We can see it now. This is a massive false flag. Let it happen. Let them take some hostages and exaggerate. They even talk about killing at some kind of music festival near the border. Shades of Las Vegas. They're playing subtly on our past experience. And that, of course, was another false flag completely. Las Vegas wasn't mass murder. Las Vegas was a movie where they use a pre-recorded soundtrack of machine gun firing plated over the AV system, supplemented with special visual effects in the middle of the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Just outrageous. Don't let RSL be played. This is a sophisticated op, and now they want to commit genocide before our very eyes. Not the fake genocide attributed to the Third Reich, a real genocide attributed to this, you might call it Third Israeli Reich, spearheaded by Bibi Netanyahu, who puts Adolf Hitler to shame as a mere amateur. Bibi knows what it's doing when it comes to mass killing. Stand by. I'll be joined by my special guest, Michael Ivey, and get his take on all of these and other issues of importance to one and all. We'll be right back.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm very pleased to have a very good man here with a very astute mind to comment on these issues. Michael Ivey and I go back many, many years. Michael's astute on many, many subjects, including issues related to the whole virology issue. But for the time being right now, Michael, I'm keen on your reaction to what I've been reporting here, to wit, that this appears to have been a let it happen false flag, that they deliberately allowed Hamas to take a lot of territory and a lot of hostages, that they're fabricating atrocities. We've heard stories of a lot of babies having their heads cut off that are such blatant rubbish. I can hardly believe anyone would buy into it. But then again, we bought the story of the Iraqi soldiers dunking babies out of incubators to justify the invasion of Iraq, where it turned out to be told by the daughter of the Iraqi ambassador, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq. I mean, it's just outrageous. Michael, your thoughts?
Yeah. Hi, Jim. I did not disagree with anything you said in the first half hour and what you just said just now. As a former professional investigator, I always think that these things will take X amount of time for a lot of evidence to come out, and we finally get an idea of what the truth of the situation is. But in this case, I was already leaning heavily toward false flag. I mean, all the videos that are coming out about it, the same group of deep state people, pulled off an incredibly large and complex event on 9/11 halfway around the world. How easy would it be for them to stage something similar on their own territory? The war atrocity stories are also a big red flag, like you just mentioned. In that latest Mike Adams commentary about this whole situation, Mike Adams is a great commentator, and I think he's full of integrity, but there's some areas that he doesn't know much about. And he played a video, assuming that it was correct, what the characterization of it was, of Hamas terrorists, this is the characterization of the video, going door to door, shooting Israeli civilians in their homes. I was keen to see what this was, but the only thing the video actually showed was these guys in black shirts and pants carrying guns going in and out of doors in a presumably an Israeli neighborhood, and you hear gunshots in the background. Now, it didn't show a soul being killed. So there's another big red flag. That would be like ultra easy to stage. And, you know, the war atrocity stories are always a feature of these false flags. You can go all the way back probably to 200 years, but, you know, I'm reminded of the posters that were put up in England and Belgium about World War I German soldiers who looked like they made them gorillas and holding babies on their bayonets. It's the exact same strategy. You have to demonize the enemy in order to get public support for the war crimes that you're about to perform.
Yeah, I think that's all exactly right, Michael. There's more going on here. I'm kind of impressed that 31 Harvard organizations have blamed Israel for the Hamas attack. I think this is probably going back to the Al-Aqsa Mosque intervention. More than 30 Harvard University student organizations are holding Israel entirely responsible for Hamas mass slaughter, sparking outrage, condemnation, and calls by a congresswoman for the Ivy League school to denounce the abhorrent and heinous support of evil and terrorism. The ones who are supporting evil and terrorism are all on the Israeli side, needless to say. In a letter titled Joint Statement by Harvard Palestine Solidarity Groups on the Situation in Palestine, 31 student organizations, including the Ivy League's affiliate of Amnesty International, condemned Israel, even as its residents are kidnapped and more than 700 have been killed by the terrorist organization. The group claimed Hamas attack did not happen in a vacuum, and the Israeli government has forced Palestinians to live in an open-air prison for 2 decades, according to the letter obtained by the Post. We, the undersigned student organization, hold the Israeli regime entirely responsible for all unfolding violence, the letter reads. The apartheid regime is the only one to blame. I think they got that right. In fact, Michael, that's the best thing I've heard out of Harvard in 20 or 30 years. Remarkable. Yeah, Your thoughts.
Yeah, that's really surprising, knowing the degree to which Harvard is influenced by Jewish administrations these days. That's really surprising to hear. The other two comments I wanted to make relative to the whole situation is that statement that you played by Nikki Haley.
Yes.
is just shocking to anyone with half a clue of what's happening in the world. It's frankly, it's taking stance and abetting these crimes against humanity that we're going to see unfold and are already unfolding with the bombardment of Gaza, cutting off of their water and electricity. It's just amazing that anybody thinks this wasn't planned beforehand.
Well, and Nikki, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say the other point I was going to say is I think it was yesterday or the day before you played that 6-minute video of a young Israeli woman who was blogging on Twitter, and she was a former IDF person, and she put out that video talking about something strange here, something's not right here. That was my first big clue, because she seemed honest in what she was talking about. And when she said, especially the point about their having withdrawn the troops from the Gazan border the day before and deployed them elsewhere, that's just like, okay, we're ready. Come on in now. We're ready for our false flag to start.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely right, Michael. And get this, the Biden administration initially called for a ceasefire, and then they reversed. Why did they reverse? Because they were going to participate in the assault on Gaza. I think this is turning out to be a litmus test, Michael, and the true character of individuals have been shown here. Nikki Haley, as shallow, superficial, and immoral as they come, a woman with no scruples whatsoever. She's condemning a whole community for slaughter. She's recommending they be wiped off the face of the earth for acts carried out by a few. Violation of international every norm of humanity, violation of human rights, just disgusting. There are all kinds of treaties and agreements about the rights of civilians in relation to armed conflicts. of which she appears to be either blissfully unaware, in which case she's not competent to be commenting, or knowledgeable about, but nevertheless moving forward in gross violation thereof. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with everything that you just said. The obviousness of this being against any form of civilized behavior that's been encoded in international law. This is so obvious that you're not supposed to hold civilians responsible for anything like that or anything a so-called terrorist does. And I also think that there, as the information continues to roll in, there are quite a few parallels involved with the larger false flags that we've all studied over the years. That pulling back of the troops along the border the day before, there's a parallel with 9/11, and they're telling the Air Force to stand down and sending them on, 26 different missions at the time.
And, yeah, you're talking about 9/11, yes.
Yeah, and there's also, I haven't vetted this yet, but I heard that there was a big bump in the stock market for war goods companies. What's the proper term for that? On the day before, last Friday. So that would be a parallel with 9/11 as well, with the put options that were put on the planes and insurance companies, Marshall McLuhan, the day before.
Yeah, and that, you know, the heads of the 9/11 committee said they'd investigated, and those who put the put option could not have had anything to do with it because they tracked back to the CIA. I mean, you know, these people are so naive, Michael, that they should have been put in charge. Clearly, they were in charge because they were gullible saps. There you had evidence right in front of their very eyes of CIA complicity by means of the put options, and they can't believe their very eyes. Just insulting beyond belief.
Yep, this one is being exposed pretty quickly, and we'll see if it makes any difference. The warmongers in control of the militaries will probably go ahead with their plans to destroy as much of Gaza as possible, and what follows that, or what might accompany that, is there's also some significant powers on the other side of this, like Russia and China, Iran, who don't want to see that. So, you know, this is putting us right up to the door of some escalation that would prove just totally tragic.
Since Bibi is going to be unrelenting, he's ruthless, he's going to go forward with slaughtering Gazans. I think Iran, Russia, and China are going to be forced to react lest they lose their moral authority in world affairs. So I see this as the fuse for World War III has now been lit.
That may well be the case. Sounds like a logical possibility for the progression of the events.
I just don't see any way around it, Michael. I don't see any way around it. Because BB's going to do it. He's got stooges like Nikki Haley, but the whole Biden admin, you know, I mean, obviously they were in on it, sending the Gerald R. Ford to carrier group off the coast was pre-planned. I mean, after all, in the abstract, what would be the point of doing that in general absent having had this design for a joint U.S.-Israeli intervention into Gaza? And what's going to happen there? You know, the Israelis withdrew from Gaza way back when because they were constantly being sniped and killed. There was resistance from every quarter. And now they're going about destroying Gaza. I mean, massive destruction. I think some 1,200 buildings already, Michael, by today. That number's probably doubled or even tripled. I mean, I do not see how you can have a slaughter like this in broad daylight and Russia, China, and Iran not become involved. Am I wrong?
No, you are not. It just sounds like the agenda and the plan all along, and that's why they staged this false flag invasion, and they presumably allowed these fighters to go as far as they did to make it look like it was a real threat to Israel. And we don't know, but they may have killed a lot of Israelis. You know, they're certainly not above that. There are plenty of examples in history of the Jewish mafia, is what I call them, staging things that kill their own people, other Jews, in order to further their agenda.
I think the Olympic shooting of the Israeli team was done by the Mossad, Michael. I think that's the most spectacular example of exactly the kind you're addressing.
Yeah, and there were, you know, the bombs in Argentina that blew up the synagogue.
Yes, yes. I published about that.
Yeah.
I published about that. Those were both, those are both Israeli ops. They blew up the embassy. It blew up from the inside out, their own embassy, but it only killed a couple dozen. That didn't get enough attention. So subsequently, they blew up the Jewish community center and killed about 84. And then guess what? Israel invited a Jewish team to come in and figure out what happened. And they claimed there'd been a car bomb, but there was no evidence of a car anywhere. And they said, well, it was so powerful, it blew the car into the ground. So I conducted excavation, and they found one part. Guess what? They found a VIN number, Michael. I mean, this is so outrageous, I can hardly believe.
Yeah, that's reminiscent of Flight 93 having disappeared into a, what did they call it, a coal mine?
an abandoned coal mine, yes.
Right. We don't know. It's in there, but we're not going to dig out all those dead people because we just don't feel like it.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely insane. Where do you think it goes from here, then? Honest to Pete, I think we're going to have a world war. Scott Ritter suggests Israel misplaced confidence in artificial intelligence, and that played a role. I think he's got that one wrong. I'm a huge fan of Scott Ritter. I think he's got almost everything right. Meanwhile, U.S. weapons from Ukraine and Afghanistan may have ended up in the hands of Hamas terrorists. Highly, highly probable. The Ukrainians are selling those weapons on the black market to make extra money. They're not using them for the war. America is being played. Really, it's Biden accommodating graft and corruption, but then that's his family stock in trade. So I think the credentials of the Biden crime family atop the American political stage are being burnished by all of these events, Michael. Meanwhile, as they hit Palestinians, Catholics, and Christians in Canada, Zionists revile the Orthodox Christians in Russia. I think this is long-standing. And if you didn't appreciate the nature of Zionism as a form of Jewish supremacy that holds all other races in contempt, maintaining they only exist to serve the Jews, that all the wealth of all nations belong to the Jews, not that every person of the Jewish faith holds these views. It's the extremist faction that has political dominance over Israel holding these views. The future looks very, very grim from this point of view. Michael, your thoughts?
Yeah, speaking of the history of their having killed their own in order to promote their ideology, supremacist ideology, nothing's more obvious than the communications that were held between the world Zionist leaders and the German regime, the National Socialists, prior to World War II. And in those communications, it's known that the Zionist leaders were just saying, well, no, we don't want any payments to these people. We don't want it to be easy for them to move out of Germany. What we need is as many dead Jews as possible so that we can make our case for taking over Palestine.
And of course, the fact that the Israelis dominate our media is very, very problematic here. I mean, this is a sort of event that they are primed to cover. The difference between German and Western reporting on Hamas attack is unreal. Proudly displayed, which biases are ascendant in the English-speaking Western press. Get this. If you wondered whether the self-loathing among Western press is as real as critics claim, here's your answer. For obvious historical reasons, Germany has a particular sensitivity to reports of anti-Semitic violence. The reaction among the German press to Jewish civilians enduring murder, rape, and hostage-taking in door-to-door sweeps of residential neighborhoods representing targeted violence at levels not experienced among Jews since World War II was one of horror and dismay. You can tell, of course, this is already written from the point of view of Israel. And I would add, I don't imagine there's a lot of rape going on. I mean, rape takes time. When you're in a situation where your life's at stake, I think it would be very hazardous to stop and drop your pants and commit a rape. I think those are all exaggerated, just like the shootings at the alleged music festival, which, as I've said, is intended to evoke memories of Las Vegas and babies having their heads chopped off, which are just ridiculous. The American papers, on the other hand, seem to have trouble deciding who the actual victims were. Here's Yasha Mount tweeting. A striking contrast between German and American papers, Der Spiegel, a targeted massacre, at least 260 confirmed dead at festival near Gaza, Der Zeit, Hamas now has an awful random, New York Times, Israel battled militants as Netanyahu warns of long war, Washington Post, both sides really. We see similar trends among public responses to the attacks in Germany. Abla Klompost tweets, Germany's Brandenburg Gate is lit up with a flag of Israel to show solidarity with the people and state of Israel. Thank you, Germany. Germany again. Around 1,000 people are gathering in Berlin right now to support Israel. Meanwhile, the group with which Bernie Sanders, AOC, and the Squad most closely identify, the Democrat Socialists of America, have an invitation to an event celebrating Hamas Palestine after the attack on Israel was initiated. Andy Ngo, the New York City chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America Party, is promoting a demonstration to celebrate Hamas Islamist militants killing Israeli civilian police and military, an unknown number of people. Many civilian Israeli women were also kidnapped. Media reports, and we get more shown, all out for Palestine. Actually, in this case, Michael, I'm 100% on the side of the Palestinians. Remember, Hamas was actually founded by Israel to be an alternative to Yasser Arafat, and I think they have cashed in those chips with this event. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, we know that the mass media is proudly owned and controlled by what I call the global Jewish mafia, and so all we're going to get is these atrocities stories on the part of the Palestinian terrorists, in quotes, that we can expect for the demonization of the enemy, which in this case they want us to hate the Palestinians as much as possible. And that really, I don't know, you could practically say any type of world event should have been obvious to people over the years. and this only being the latest one, of what a weapon control of the mass media is when they need it to be. And this is another example here. Earlier, you asked me what I thought was going to happen.
Yes.
And what I can intuitively feel like should happen in the next day or so, if they proceed with this overt genocide of the Palestinian people, I think the ball is in the court of some other countries who won't accept that. And that could include Turkey, Syria, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Russia, China. There's a lot of people out there running countries who are not under the thumb of the Zionists who are carrying this operation out.
Oh, I think that's a great addendum, Michael, because Turkey has been very keen in support of the Palestinians. It would be a perfect circumstance for Erdogan to assert his dedication to the best interests of the people of Palestine and to the Arab nations generally, and give himself a leadership role here in opposing the genocidal activities of the Israelis. I think Turkey is highly likely, therefore, to take a leading role here in response. But is Netanyahu, in my opinion, is not going to hesitate slaughtering Gazans. I think the match is on. I think we're going to see a whole lot happening in the next couple of days, and it ain't going to be pretty. I'm so glad to have you here, Michael. We'll be right back with you and take a look at some other issues that have been of current interest here involving viruses, virology, the pandemic, the shots, and all that. Stand by. We'll be right back with Michael Ivey.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either," available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming. And it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Michael, you've been following the debate about viruses and virology very, very closely, and I thought it'd be wonderful to take advantage of your background in this issue to address what's been going on. I gave Dave from New York the floor, then I gave Paul from California the floor, and I'm very pleased to give you now the floor to address what's going on, what you think are the key issues, and how the land lies as you see it. Your thoughts.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for inviting me on. Even though it's overshadowed by these recent developments in the Middle East, the entire subject of the legitimacy of virology is an extremely important subject. Although it's, like I say, it seems insignificant today with this going on. But this subject of legitimacy or lack thereof of the science of virology is important because it involves understanding truth about one of the most pervasive false beliefs that we hold as humanity at large. As recent history makes obvious, meaning the pandemic, this belief in virology is being used to both control and depopulate us in the name of public health. Just a short foray into the history of recent virus deceptions that anybody who's over 50 or so will be aware of at this point. We've been treated to a string of phony virus scares over the last 70 years. The big, well, it's not the biggest because it starts back in the 50s, but the biggest that was presented to us as a pandemic was, not a pandemic, what's the smaller word for that? But was the AIDS issue. Now it's widely known that AIDS was never caused by any infectious viruses. That's been proven six ways to Sunday. They told us it was caused by, and they made it up, HIV. So my personal first foray into the world of this use of deadly viruses as deception was the awesome book called AIDS, Opium, Diamonds, and Empire, subtitled The Deadly Virus of International Greed by Nancy Turner Banks, Dr. Banks. And that book, that was recommended to me by Sophia Smallstorm, by the way, back in 2010 or 11 or so. That book makes it clear that there never was any HIV virus that causes the collection of conditions that were amassed together and called AIDS at the time. And since then, as we all know, we've lived through promotions and fear programs for swine flu back in the 70s that turned out to be a total scam, the bird flu, the Zika virus, West Nile. Those are just off the top of my head. You know, there's probably been a dozen of them. And all of this stuff brings up, relative to virology in general, there's a wonderful quote by a street philosopher named Dresden James that says, when a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and the speaker of the truth will sound like a lunatic. So that's the situation that we are in with really any pervasive societal belief. When somebody starts talking against it, then it sounds utterly preposterous to everybody. But that's exactly what modern virology is. It's a well-packaged web of false beliefs in the guise of biological science. And they put it into that package by putting the giving accolades to the people who they say discovered the process of isolation of the virus. And I talked about isolation the other day when I was on the program on Monday, and how fraudulent that process is relative to the actual concept of isolation, and how they actually changed the definition of the word isolation in order to apply it to this virus isolation. And that goes on today. That started way back in the 50s. And they put it in the guise of cutting edge biological science by giving the Nobel Prize to somebody who came up with that process. So even though most of the people who work in virology are just working jobs and they're just doing what they were told and believe, there is an element of this at some point that knows that it's fraudulent and it's a huge moneymaker and control mechanism. You know, it wasn't until the COVID pandemic came along that I actually did my own deep dive into the science of virology in general. I think this was in the fall of 2020. I was initially inspired by the book called The Contagion Myth by Tom Cowan and Sally Fallon Morell. And it was while reading that book that this moment of intuitive insight came to me. And basically it was realizing, oh my God, these individual virus scans that they've been feeding us are not just isolated deceptions. This applies to the entire field of virology. It's a huge false belief on a societal level that we've been told our entire lives. So the other day on your program, you were having arguments back and forth. This would be Monday. And I've heard you make the argument a couple of times that there are so many people around the world who are employed and do research in the field of virology. And the question becomes, are we to believe that all these people are wrong or acting in bad faith? So I wrote out a response to that, and I will read it now if that's okay with you. Oh, Jim, are you there? I'll keep going then.
Sure, go ahead, Michael. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. And my response to the argument that that there's all these people working in the field of virology, how are we to believe that that all these people are either dead wrong, having been trained in that field, or acting in bad faith? My response is along these lines. Besides being a logical fallacy called, it's either appeal to the common belief or appeal to the crowd.
Popular sentiments, but there are other names, yeah.
Okay. It's actually the norm for an orthodoxy to develop in practically all areas of science and academics. This is true for physics, biology, genetics, archaeology, geology, anthropology, astronomy. It's hard to think of any scientific field that hasn't developed an orthodox set of principles or beliefs that dominate that field and are very difficult to dislodge, even when proof of their being wrong or false is out there. That's been the case throughout history. Typically, such fixed orthodoxies give up their power positions or fall over as a result of what we, after the fact, would call scientific revolutions. But typically, it may take decades, probably not in the current time, but in the past, it's taken decades for new understandings of those fields to filter down to the people so that they become common knowledge. And that reminds me of Schopenhauer's famous quote about truth passing through three stages, which is, first, it is ridiculed. Second, it is violently opposed. And third, it is accepted as being self-evident.
Yes, so, indeed.
So we're in the middle of a couple of those right now. We're in the middle of a scientific revolution in physics with the emergence of electric universe science, plasma science, as applied to both the macro and the micro. But most people are completely unaware of it because the mass media doesn't report on it. It's always been the case that the mass media has to be dragged kicking and screaming out of their orthodox beliefs. And that's only when the media is acting in good faith. We have such a evil media these days that when the owners and controllers of that media have an agenda to make the people believe whatever they want them to believe, and the examples are numerous, they use their power to shape the beliefs of the people to serve that agenda. So you're not going to hear in the mass media at any point these scientific revolutions as they're happening. So getting back to the point, of how are all these people who are working in this field, what's up with them? How come nobody is standing up and saying, wait a minute, this is BS? Actually, there have been quite a few. The most famous, I think, is the German virologist who stopped being a virologist when he understood what was going on, named Stefan Lanka. So when a like somebody who goes into that field, a student or a doctor or a scientist, goes into the field of virology, and this is true with medicine in general as well, the only virology that person is going to be taught is the orthodoxy, the orthodox beliefs and principles that that make up modern virology. And since this orthodoxy is being taught to them by people that they respect in that field and they believe know everything there is to know, the people going into that field believe everything that they're being taught. And it takes the most independent free thinkers to break out of that orthodoxy. And even when they see problems with it, it's usually the case that their paychecks depend on going along with that orthodoxy. And that's reminiscent of that famous Mark Twain quote, "It's very difficult to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on his not understanding it."
Yes.
You know, do you want to comment at that point?
Oh, I'm fascinated by everything you're saying, Michael. Persevere.
Okay. That's why Tom Cowan characterizes the field of virology by saying that it exists somewhere between misunderstanding and outright fraud. There are undoubtedly some controlling people at the top of the orthodoxy who know that it's a fraud, but the vast majority of people in the field either don't understand that the scientific foundation for the entire field is non-existent, or they're too invested in their pre-existing orthodox beliefs to even examine anything that challenges those beliefs. They just cast them aside upon hearing them. And in that sense, the moniker no virus debate or viruses do not exist debate is such a radical oversimplification of what's going on here that it's really not helpful, although it's used as a shorthand everywhere. What is helpful is to go back to the foundations of virology and to understand the steps that were taken in order to get to where we are today. I think the most recent example of this being invested in orthodox beliefs in so many people in a certain field is the medical field, with this mass administration of the COVID-19 injections. Many of us know now that this was a massive crime against humanity, and it's been carried out not by just a few at the top who knew what the agenda was, but it was carried out by everybody who believed the orthodox concepts of number one, virology, and number two, vaccine science. So we're talking about thousands of doctors, nurses, insurance executives, corporate structures. I'm sure that many of them probably had their doubts. They just went along with the orthodox beliefs to preserve their jobs or social status. So this is the case with the field of virology in general and with vaccine science. In order for this crime against humanity, which we just lived through and are still living through because it's still ongoing, in order for this crime against humanity to succeed in this agenda, there are two false beliefs widely held that are necessary for it to succeed. One is that there are deadly disease-causing contagious particles called viruses that might attack us and cause us to die at any point. And two, the belief in the efficacy of vaccines to combat those invisible disease-causing particles. Those two beliefs are the root that makes this kind of control and crime against humanity possible. In the context of vaccines, there's a relatively new book. I think it's only about it's only been in English for about a year, called Turtles All the Way Down, Vaccine Science and Myth. And it was written by a team of Israeli doctors who chose to stay anonymous because they knew what kind of hell would come down on their heads, and they wanted to preserve their careers if they came out with who they are. So the gist of that book, and that book was translated by the president of Children's Health Defense and another woman there at Children's Health Defense. And the main point of that book, they go through, they take one by one all the major vaccines that are in the childhood schedule today and have been since the 50s, and they go back and show exactly what was done to develop and to test those vaccines. And the bottom line is that there's never been a single vaccine that has solid science behind it showing to have the immune function for which it's advertised. Not one. So, you know, these common beliefs of the masses, we get back to where control of the mass media comes in, because they're the greatest shaper of that in the entertainment industry, of the common beliefs of the masses. So I'll stop there. That's basically the message that I wanted to give today. And then I have some recommendations for people who want to study this further.
Michael, I think you've been very, very lucid in elaborating your position. I want you to go ahead and take advantage of the few minutes before the break when we'll open the line to callers to suggest where everyone can go to do more research on their own. Go ahead, yours.
Okay. There are literally hundreds of things I could recommend from the vast amount of looking into things that I've been doing over the last 3 years, but I boiled it down to four. And the first one is, there is a fabulous lengthy video teaching series that came out about 2 or 3 months ago by the title of The End of COVID. And it's just at theendofcovid.com. These are extraordinarily detailed teaching programs in 90 videos covering literally every aspect of the virus deception, as well as specific deceptions and specific information about how the COVID-19 pandemic was imposed on the world. That's called The End of COVID. The second one is the website and Odyssey channel of Dr. Sam Bailey of New Zealand. It's really the, she's the video, her name is Samantha, so she goes by Sam. It's really a joint expression from both her and her doctor husband, Dr. Mark Bailey. And there you'll find at the Odyssey channel, she makes weekly videos that are digestible in size, like 15 to 20 minutes. And she takes one topic at a time on practically every subtopic involved in the general subject that we're talking about here. So that's my second recommendation, the website and Odyssey channel of Dr. Sam Bailey. The third thing is the website and Substack of an independent researcher named Mike Stone. And the name of that website is called Virology. It's a creative spelling of the word virology with the word lie stuck into the middle of it. It's spelled V-I-R-O, then the word lie, L-I-E, then G-Y. So it's virology.com. It's just a terrific compendium. It's a library of itself of to-the-point articles that are there. And the last thing, the fourth thing.
Go ahead.
Are we out of time?
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
The fourth thing is the BitChute channel of Dr. Tom Cowan. He does a weekly webinar that's live recorded, and quite a few interviews with really great people, all of which get posted to his BitChute channel. So that's Dr. Tom Cowan's BitChute channel. Okay.
Excellent, Michael. Everyone, calls, phones are going to be open 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. I won't be surprised by an avalanche of calls today, given what's going on out there with this false flag, with a potential slaughter of 2 million in Gaza, Nikki Haley urging Bibi to wipe them off the map. This, I say again, is a litmus test for the true character of individuals. The whole world should be declaring itself to be Palestinians. Their cause has been just. They've been abused for 75 years. They've been slaughtered. Their olive groves have been destroyed. Their wells have been poisoned. Their kids have been shot. It's been brutal. It's been savage. It's been inhumane. I believe it's now coming to a head. And I, sad to say, believe World War III is not far behind. We even have a report. Syria joining Hamas and Hezbollah in shelling Israel. Stand by. We'll take your calls right after this break.
Take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, we got a few callers lined up here. Let's start with Brian. Give us your thoughts, Brian, the latest.
Well, when you talk about vax, I certainly have a lot of experience with this because I had this girl who was in her 20s, and I met her at my Chakra Dhyana Kundalini yoga classes, and she showed up one day beat up, and her boyfriend beat her, and I said, look, he's going to kill you if you keep it up, and you can move in with me. So I had this girl move in. She was pregnant, okay, didn't know it at the time. And because I have telepathy and my third eye works, I would call in the Dr. Archangel Raphael. And he said, whatever you do, don't get any damn vaccines. He said, don't even take the baby food. Okay, don't, you know, you have to have her nurse, don't take any infant formula. And so that's what we did. She would listen to what I said, and her sister sent her a bunch of prenatal vitamins when she found out she was pregnant. And he said, throw them in the trash. There's crap in them. So she did research on the internet and discovered that the prenatal vitamins, when they react in your stomach, they form arsenic. Okay, so you get arsenic with them. And it was on the internet, and there was some lawsuit concerning it. And her sister, of course, took them, and she had vaginal bleeding, was throwing up. But when he was born then, okay, because she wouldn't give him any vaccines, she made the baby food, she only nursed him, he's not even two yet, and he's probably as advanced as someone who is 2.5, 3 years old. He's articulate. He's just so aware. He's skinny, but he's super heavy. Okay, he's normal. He doesn't have any vaccine crap in him making him puff up like all these other poor kids. And there's other aspects to this when you have telepathy. What I was doing with him was when he was in the womb, I would telepathically talk to him because she lived here. And after 6 months, I would show him, you know, images out of my third eye. And what that did, it made his DNA 24-strand DNA. Louisa Goldfish Report always has Dr. Scott Warner looking for how you get 24-strand DNA. Well, that's naturally how it was done before they did all this to us. And to show you how well that works, she was in Charleston, South Carolina, in a mansion that they were giving tours, and she's in this wide open parlor, and he started getting all agitated and excited and talking to his mom, and he couldn't quite talk then. So she called me from there, and she said, can you see what's going on? So I telepathically talked to him. I said, what are you seeing? So he shows me a dance during the Civil War where there's these Confederate officers with their swords and, you know, their uniforms, and they're having a dance there. And so I told her what was going on. So after that, she walked over to the wall, and there was a plaque on the wall that said, during the Civil War, there was the bells, and, you know, Charleston used to host dances for the Confederate officers, and they danced here on this floor. So it proved to me that, you know, everything I do works.
Well, very good. That's very it. Good. Very good, Brian. Further thoughts about any of this, including what's going on with Gaza and Hamas?
Darn, I've got a call coming in I have to get.
All right, take it. We got another caller.
Okay, I'll let you
surprise,
go. Bye.
Surprise. Paul in California, join the conversation.
Well, since Brian just called, it sort of took away the first opening line or two I was going to have for Michael, but now I can't resist. You know, Brian, if we didn't all know you and like you and actually think that you have very interesting insights, we would be going, what the hell did you just say? All that came from, but okay, I don't discount any of it. But here's what I was going to say. This character, Michael Ivey, that you had on, I don't know who he thinks he is to read books and watch videos and about established science. I have a virology textbook in my room right now, and it is thick. I'm talking about you put your finger wide apart as you can. It's that thick with lots of print, pictures of things. Virology is a well-established science, and Who are you anyway? You're just like a retired utility company worker, as far as I know. And you haven't brought any evidence to this discussion at all. Where's your evidence? Okay, you talk about what you think, what you see, what you know, who you listen to. I want evidence that this science of virology is actually fraudulent, just like you say it is.
Thanks for the last
sarcastic.
That really put me in my place. Thanks.
I support what Michael has said. I've found evidence myself over the years, as we all have, Jim, right? Haven't you undergone an awakening process that's going back 30 years or more, right? Where it's like every week, every month, every year, you wake up and you find out something else is a lie. You know, yes. Something else is a fraud. So just because there's a so-called, division of science or education with a label on it, right, such as virology, in my opinion, it doesn't mean anything. You know, I've come to understand my personal understanding of life and living things and health in a particular way, and it doesn't have anything to do with categories.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Mitchell, let me draw you in. I know you got a lot of thoughts about virtually everything that's been discussed here today. Take your pick, my friend. Join the conversation.
Well, you know, I guess we live in the world of the absurd, you know, with what's going on in Israel with each side blaming the other for, well, murdering them, and we're going to murder you, and we're going to genocide you, and then we get to the medical system where, well, you can't believe a effing word they say, okay? Ever since, you know, the government took over medicine, you know, it's like we have a shortage of medicine, of real medicine, not this pharmaceutical mumbo-jumbo crap that they shovel at us. And they say statistically, well, you know, hell, everybody gets sick statistically. I just think it's designed to keep you and I and Mike and Paul and Brian and everybody, you know, trying to go down into the weeds and determine exactly what happened right at the roots while they're up at the top just cutting the grass, you know, as they go along. They don't care. They just keep growing the crazy conspiracies. And, then they keep harvesting, you know, the chattel. So we have to break the mold, and we have to break through the psychological programs that they've used to co-opt the minds of everybody. You know, so that's, to me, that's, you know, the first thing you have to do is to crack that brainwashing that a person is under.
And that's, of course, you're talking about the vax. Your thoughts about what's going on in Gaza with Hamas and Israel?
Well, hell, Jim. Hey, Jim, listen. If our educational system can convince young boys that they're young girls, I guess any damn thing is possible today. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, you know, since Mitch mentioned the educational system, it just so happened I watched the last day or two, a few of these videos on YouTube of teachers, you know, teachers saying what it's like now. And, you know, this one teacher, she's been doing it for near 30 years, and she said that she's never seen kids as behind as they are now, that, you know, they're not at grade level used to be. And another teacher basically said the same thing, that the kids are just seem to be very, not just, you know, disinterested, but in many cases, you know, harder to teach. And they're not, you know, like I said, at grade level in multiple subjects and, you know, the various behavior issues. And I can't help but think it's just the accumulation of, you know, what's in the food and water, as well as all these electronic devices that they're all, you know, being given at a very young age. It's really it's kind of a tragedy, really, when you think about it.
Yeah. Michael, you want to add more? Your thoughts?
Let's see. I had one thought going back to Brian's mention of not using infant formula or the infant vitamin supplement. I have no doubt that that is the correct position to take, because that it seems like every area that you look into in terms of food products or vitamin, not all vitamin products, of course, but lots of different products, they're sneaking various types of poisoning in. They really want to depopulate the planet. And I can go down to my local grocery store right now, and there is water jugs on the shelf that is laced with the neurotoxin fluoride being marketed for babies, that you're supposed to use that water. It's higher in fluoride. You know, you're destroying your baby's brain and nervous system. And yet they're on the shelves right now.
I know. And, you know, this reminds me, Michael, I'm glad you brought that up. So if you understand health nutrition, you've looked into the food industry and all that for a while, as I have, I know Michael has, and maybe to a lesser extent you have, Jim. But the two most pervasive things that you see, and two of the most toxic things to our health and our metabolism, are soybean oil and high fructose corn syrup. And of course, you know, right on the heels of those are
practically everything, Paul. They're in practically everything.
Right. Yes, and so I was just going to go ahead, Michael.
Don't forget canola oil. It's everywhere these days.
Exactly. Go ahead. And here's the point about it is both canola and soybean are GMO, of course. And what's the genetic modification that they made, that they're Roundup ready so they can withstand the spraying? So basically they're all going to be loaded with glyphosate. And of course, these hydrogenated oils are very well known. They're all trans fats. So any of these commercial seed oils are trans fats. And, you know, again, I'm not going to give a whole lecture about why trans fats are bad. You can go online, and within an hour or two, you'll be an expert, and you can tell other people for all the good it does you. But yes, I know, Jim, you probably weren't reading labels when you were a young man, but I promise you that when we all came up, there wasn't soybean oil in everything, and now it's in everything. You can't, I mean, literally, the other day I just ordered a bowl of soup at this place, right? I hadn't had a good soup in a while, so I ordered a bowl of the minestrone soup. It was supposedly the house special, okay? And they gave me a couple packets of crackers. Right now, I don't eat crackers as a rule. So now I'm going to have some crackers. And I noticed, okay, they've got the ingredients on the crackers. So I flip it over and I read the ingredients on the crackers. God damn if there wasn't soybean oil and high fructose corn syrup in saltine crackers.
And it's ridiculous.
Like,
and if you go to practically any restaurant, I'll be quick. You can finish your point, Paul. Mm-hmm. And ask them what kind of oil they do deep frying in, or that they fry something that's like a hamburger that's going to be on the grill. 9 times out of 10, they're going to come back with the answer, vegetable oil. And in every case, it's either canola oil, rapeseed oil, or soybean oil.
Right. It's similar to if they ask you, do you want whipped cream? Okay. And I say, well, can I see the can? Or would you do me a favor and look at the can and tell me what the first ingredient is? And time after time after time, it's this non-dairy whipped topping, which, of course, starts out with, like, water, oil, and then all sorts of other artificial crap. So we can't have real food anymore. And what I was thinking about this, and, of course, anybody who's interested, I highly recommend a book called The Whole Soy Story by Kayla Daniels. I read this probably back, I want to say, in the late 90s or early 2000s, where she basically pulls the curtain back on the whole soy industry, and it's a nasty picture. But so having said that, you know, the thought occurred to me the other day as they're putting this everywhere, and I thought, okay, are they just doing it to make money? You know, are all these corporations, you know, just doing it because it's cheap oil and they just want to make money? And I thought to myself, you know, they can make money doing anything when you think about it. I mean, all they have to do is what they've been doing, is just incrementally raise the prices on all the food, and as well as maybe even downsize the container sizes like we've all seen. Now, they really could make money doing just about anything that they sell us. But, of course, what they're doing is they're poisoning us. They're making sure that you really cannot escape, or that it's difficult to escape, these noxious products that are in the food supply.
We do have another caller standing by, Reese in New York. Reese, join the conversation.
All right. Maybe we could – I'm going to try to bring it back on track, Jim, to the discussion at hand when you started out with your guest, Mike. I'm not interested in going into the Kundalini energy, the new age. We could do that on another program. I'd be happy to debunk that. But let's go into the guest, Mike. Now, I don't know who Mike is, and I certainly don't mean in my challenging him to disrespect him personally, because I don't know him. I have no knowledge of his background or heard previous presentations. So let me just say this. He starts off quoting Schopenhauer with the three stages of discovery of truth, as bolstering his theory. In other words, he cites it without any qualification of his theory, because we could cite Schopenhauer and say that proves that my theory on the flat earth is true. You see, we could quote him as supporting something with a miasmatic theory.
Hey
Reese, I got a question for you. Are you going to synagogue? Do you go to where's your
hold on, Jim, please, let me continue without the blather. Jim, let me continue without the interruption of this lather.
Paul, we'll let Reese say his piece, and then Paul,
Jim,
I'll call
just,
on you.
Jim.
Then I'll call on you, Paul. Go ahead, Reese.
All right.
Go ahead,
Jim,
Reese.
Let me just say this. Having these type of emotional outbursts and people
Reese,
insulting and using profanity.
Reese, just go ahead and say your piece. Just go ahead and say your piece.
Okay,
go
so ahead. I mentioned Schopenhauer. Going back,
that was incidental.
Can I please finish a sentence? Can I finish a sentence, please? So he could be operating on a logical fallacy. And you, Jim, who have a background in logic, in arguments and polemics, should know the danger of operating on a false premise or a logical fallacy. So here's what I say. Can, for instance, your guest cite, because he mentions how in the past there have been certain theories that were disproven. For instance, in the early 20th century, people believed in phrenology. You know, by studying the shape of your face, they could tell things about you or predict your, you know, life's future outcome based on those now disproven theories. The miasmatic theory of disease. The miasmatic theory of disease. That was also believed that around the time of Pasteur in the late 19th, early 20th century, that disease was spread through smelling it. And that's one of the reasons that during the plague, they wore those long beaks with incense in them and to purify the air, because they thought you would contract it through breathing it. So my point is, if your guest wants to stand behind great minds like Schopenhauer, he then needs to provide at least some evidence. I have not heard any evidence. He's trying to disprove a theory towards citing negatives. He's citing negatives.
Hang on.
Now, Jim, hold on. Let me go on, because this is important. This is important. If we were having this conversation in the 1880s, it would be a debate that could be discussed on both sides. But after the electron microscope was developed, the electron microscope was developed in the 1930s, and that provided the first images of a virus.
So what? So what, Reese? Just tell us if
so what?
It's a virus.
You're saying they don't exist.
Reese, I want to...
Jim!
I want to give Paul a chance.
Jim,
go ahead,
hold on.
Paul.
Jim,
no.
All right, go ahead.
Reese. Just tell us if you believe viruses cause disease and why you believe this. We don't want to hear a whole tutorial from you. Do you believe viruses cause disease?
First of all, I didn't come here to get put on an inquisition about my unqualified opinions on viruses causing disease.
What
I'm not qualified to discuss that topic, and neither is the guest, and neither are you, Paul, but I'll say this. I'm qualified to discuss logic because I have a scientific background in hard
answer
sciences.
Jaime, answer my question.
Paul,
do you believe virus
answer this
or not?
Question.
Oh, see what we got here.
No, listen, Jim, this
I
is
know.
Not a tribunal here. This is not a tribunal. I'm bringing up valid points
this
here.
This is No, but it's an exchange, Reese, and you're not receptive to back and forth.
You understand, Jim.
Just hold off, Reese. I want Michael to have a chance to respond since you were attacking him. Michael, your thoughts.
I wasn't attacking him. I was citing facts and evidence. Just hear him.
Reese, you were obviously attacking him. Michael, go ahead. Your response.
Well, the only thing that Reese said that I would respond to is his claim that the electron microscope allowed us to see, in quotes, viruses. And if you actually study what's done to produce an electron micrograph and what they point to as being a virus, there is absolutely no connection between the breakdown of cells and what they're seeing in these two-dimensional electron micrographs and any kind of disease-causing entity. There is no proof of that whatsoever.
There's another statement with no factual basis, just a statement. Nothing to support it.
Michael's pretty good.
You're
pretty
buying into this nonsense? Jim Fetzer. A great researcher like you is buying into this nonsense? Somebody making a statement with no backing of any facts?
Yes. Michael was citing sources the whole time he was on the air, Reese. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised.
Cited names of scientists. He cited names of scientists. He didn't cite any facts to bolster his argument.
Can you mute Reese for just a minute while I respond?
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Okay, so this is typical. We've all seen these tactics over and over again. It's not just Reese. There's a few people here and there. I don't claim to be any expertise on Jews and their tactics. This has been pointed out to me by multiple listeners, you know, and one of them, I got to admit, she's pretty darn sharp, and she talks about – she actually – you know, categorized and labeled all the various things that they do. It's like what he does. That's why I called in and I mocked the idea about where's your evidence, Michael, where's your evidence? He's not addressing anything. I asked him simply if he believes viruses cause disease, and then my next question would be, why do you believe that? I'm not going to ask him, well, where's your evidence for that reason? I'm going to see what it is he says as a thinking man, why he believes viruses cause it. He wouldn't even answer that. And, you know, he does the same thing every show. We get this long-winded pretense and tutorial and, you know, his background and all kinds of stuff. It's just classic, you know,
nonsense.
What some people call operative tactics. Okay? And contributing nothing
Jim,
to the discussion.
Jim, can I respond?
Sure.
Can I respond?
Sure.
I'm going to answer Paul's question. I'm going to answer Paul's question, but I'm going to preface
it
by saying, Jim,
here we go.
Let me preface it by saying this is my opinion, not saying that I'm an authority that other people need to listen to and follow my opinion. So here's my opinion. I believe that viruses do cause disease. Now, here's why. The reason is that there's over 100 years of scientists who I revere and respect, a consensus amongst them, and that is their qualified opinion. Jim,
okay, I think
now Jim,
oh, yeah.
I just
hear laughter and mockery, Jim. I don't hear any facts.
Okay,
Reese,
okay,
your claim seems to me to be vulnerable to the very criticism you were directing at Michael. I mean, all hat, no cattle. Where is your evidence?
Just
I mean, you're
opposite.
Just blaming.
Oh, Jim. Listen, Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Jim,
this is Michael.
Au contraire.
Yeah,
au
hang on,
contraire,
Michael.
Reese, say in French.
Okay, Reese, hold on.
Yes.
Michael, go ahead.
I just wanted to for you to save about a minute for me at the end of the show,
yeah.
And not let this kind of stuff go on
yeah.
to the end.
You got it right now, Michael. Go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Okay. Earlier, Mitchell said that we live in the world of the absurd, and that reminded me of this beautiful section at the end of the book, The Contagion Myth, in which the authors make this wonderful metaphor using the fairy tale story of Sleeping Beauty as
yes.
a metaphor for how we as people have been put to sleep and how the kingdom is in a state of death and the awakening of the truth is the
Michael, you're great. Excellent. Thank you all. One and all. Reese included. Thank you all for being here. Back Friday.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their glory.